Welcome to Healing is a Vibe. This is Jasmine, your host. And today we're going to talk about healing in community and why it's important to have people that you can depend on, that you can confide in, and that can build your community or your village, with you. So today I will be discussing this topic with a good friend of mine named Courtney.
Hey, hey, y'all.
We met through a mutual friend. Courtney is from Oklahoma. I'm from Louisiana, but we are both in Austin, Texas now. So moving here, Courtney, did you know anybody other than Latoya? No, you didn't even know Latoya.
Girl, no. I've moved on a wing and a prayer and just, this is close enough to the home state, but far enough that nobody would follow me for real. So,
right.
It was just,
it was just you. It was just you and your son. And with us, I just have in-laws and a friend from childhood here. But if you know anything about Austin, then you know and you understand that just because you know somebody here, that does not mean you're going to move in that part of town or if you're going to see that person because they have already created and made a life for themselves and they're comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of move here like, okay, Lord, what's next? It's just me. It's one of those situations. It's just me and my three or it's me and my four. Like, that's basically what it is. So, yeah.
I had a professor when I was in college, a psychology professor. She said that everybody should just pick up and move somewhere one time, just someplace you don't know to see if you can handle it. And that stuck with me for a while.
Right.
So the time came, it's like, I got to get out of here because Oklahoma is just, that was not it for me and my mental health. So
exactly.
I said, where can I go? I don't know how I ended up in Texas because I always said I would never live in Texas.
Wow.
But yet we're here, we're living and thriving. So,
I think that kind of goes back to how it's like, first of all, you can never say never. That's one thing. And then number two is like, God has a funny sense of humor because just because you said that you would never move to Texas, that it didn't mean that Texas is not for you. So it's like, it's not my plan. It's,
correct.
It's God's plan. So that, with that being said, that was a spiel of how we met. We met through a mutual friend. And I feel like that's probably the best way to actually meet genuine people because it's like, our friend Latoya was like, okay, well, you good people, she's good people. So I feel like y'all would be a good match too. And with me, I'm the type of person, I don't have to have a lot of people around me. I just need my few, my faithful few, as we call it.
Yes,
because it's not about quantity for me. It's about quality.
Yeah.
So if I just got my solid two or three people that I'm cool with, then I don't need the 20 people that might be faking it.
Right. I've always just wanted that girlfriend set up where
it's
three people. We all just vibe together. And if I'm upset with somebody, I still got two other friends.
Exactly. That's all you
easy.
Need.
Not a whole lot of people.
No. And that's the thing is like, I feel like people get community and crowd confused.
Ooh, that's a word.
Crowd is you can be around a room full of people and still feel empty and don't feel like you are loved or surrounded by genuine people. But community is actually where you're communing in unity.
Yes.
And that way you understand the purpose of people that are in that particular circle.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, I'm not looking for friends that's going to boost my head up and all that kind of stuff. No, I'm looking for friends that's going to hold me accountable. I'm looking for friends not to give me criticism that's going to hurt my feelings, but to give me constructive criticism. Because a lot of times people just want an amen corner.
Yes.
They don't want people to actually pray for them.
Correct. And I want to be seen by my people. Like if you
exactly
you notice or you know the ins and outs where it's like, okay, we've been in this crowd for like 20, 30 minutes. Let me go check on her because I know this is not her thing.
Exactly.
Right? Okay.
And that goes back to people actually knowing their person.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of times we get so twisted and discombobulated when it comes to like relationships and friendships. You can have a friendship with somebody but not be in relationship with that person.
Yeah.
Because a relationship requires more effort. And it is not about having a romantic relationship. This relationship can be anything. Because you can be a friend to a person, but if you don't have a relationship with that person, that means y'all don't relate when it comes to anything.
Yeah. And sometimes and you have to know which category of friend, who has the capacity for what, whether exactly. it's a little shot glass or a full on mason jar of exactly. what it can do for you. We're just going to have a little sip over here versus we're going to sit down and really get to the nitty gritty over here. So you have to know who your people are.
You have to know who your people are. And I came across an IG video about how this lady broke it down about the different tiers of friendship. And it wasn't until the big age of 35
stop saying
that I began to be honest with myself and say, okay, I started going through my friendships and I started picking little things. And I guess you would call it nitpicking, because I'm like, okay, these small things add up to the big things.
Yep.
Because if I keep letting the small things slide, then when I do decide to break away or cut you off, you're going to feel like, oh my God, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't speak up about the little things. And so I'm trying my best to stop doing that with people, because I'm like, yeah, you may not know why I cut you off, but it could have been something that you did 2 or 3 months ago. And it was a consistent pace with that, because I'm a pattern person.
Same.
It's not like I'm just going to cut you off because the wind blew too hard. No, no, no. I'm going to see a pattern. If you're not showing up for me the way that I need you to show up for me, because people will be like, oh, that's selfish. No, it's not selfish, because it's a part of love language in the friendship.
Yes.
If I tell you that I like vanilla and you keep handing me chocolate, you're not listening to what I need or what I want.
Right.
A real friend is going to think about it and be like, okay, well, I remember last time I bought her chocolate. She ain't like that. She wanted vanilla, so I'm going to bring her vanilla. And that's the way it's supposed to be. It's not about the gifts. It's not about being able to gossip. It's not about none of that. A real friendship and real community is based off of people's needs. Because a lot of times when you're coming from your hometown and things like that, you're dealing with trauma already.
Yes, Lord.
So who wants to come and trauma bond? Like, I don't want to keep reliving the same thing that I'm running away from. And when I say running away from it, it's because you can't say, oh, you just ran away from your hometown because things weren't going right. No, sometimes things can be going right, but it's just not fulfilling anymore. And so yes, I'm going to run, because if God told me to leave, I'm not about to be dragging my feet to leave.
Correct. Yeah.
Because I can remember the whole process of trying to move to here. And it was like one of those situations where we tried in 2022 and it didn't go right.
Mm-hmm.
Tried in 2023 and it didn't go right. So in 2024, I became complacent and I said, well, maybe it's just not for us to move. And before I knew it, it happened so quickly. And that's what people don't realize either. It's like, just because you can plan something and plan for something, that does not mean that it's going to happen in that time frame. Test. God might have told you to do it, but it might not happen in that time frame. So when I took my mind off of it and I gave it to him, he allowed everything to just fall into place, and it happened within a month. People were like, well, dog, you just going to pick up and move that quick? Well, yep. It wasn't on my turn.
That's really funny that you say that like that, because I tried to move out of Oklahoma. Oh gosh, was that 2021? I was going to go to Maryland, because that's been one of my dream states for a long time. Like, I want to be on the East Coast. I want to try something new. But it fell completely flat. And then I ended up back in, well, I stayed in Oklahoma in an apartment I could not stand, closer to family. That's a whole other thing.
Exactly.
And then I just kind of sat for that year and I said, all right, Lord, I don't like this. You know, I don't like being here. I don't know what to do. So we're going to just see what happens. But then it was probably a month, like you said, it was about the same timeline.
Yeah.
Where I applied for a job here. Everything was good. I came down to kind of do a little recon of the area to find an apartment. That all worked out. Next thing I know, I'm all packed up. My grandpa is tightening down my car on the trailer. It's time to go. I said, I don't want to go. I don't want to do that.
Exactly. And it's so crazy. I think that was my reason for just going ahead and doing it, because I didn't want to ponder on the thought anymore. You
Yeah.
know what I'm saying? I didn't want to get comfortable. And the difference between me and you is because it was like when I came here, my mom was with me.
Yeah.
So it's like I still had that comfort of knowing, okay, if something don't go right, or if I'm in my feelings, or if I get homesick, my mama is right here.
Yep.
So, and I think that made the difference for me, because people oftentimes they ask, you know, did y'all get homesick? And I'm like, for what?
The home was with you.
Right, home is in the heart.
Yeah.
So I'm like, no, I didn't get homesick. And then the fact that we're only 5 hours away, it's like, oh, like old people would say, it's a skip, hop, and a jump away.
Yep.
So I can hop on the road and go home if I need to, and I do very often. But even going back home, even though we've only been here for a year, I feel like I've made more connections and more meaningful decisions and things like that since
Yes.
I've been here within this year, because that leads to my next point about how doing things, you know, the being the strong one is what we were taught, healing in silence and things like that. So me coming to a city where I was able to join different groups and things on Facebook and meet new people in the jobs and not have to wake up and look at the same people over and over again. You know, that was a blessing for me, because I'm like, wow, I get a fresh start. You know what I'm saying? People don't have to look at me as far as the little Jasmine that they met
Girl,
when I was
yes.
10, you know, or the Jasmine that they met when I was 19,
The
or
old
the
person.
Jasmine that they met when I was
Yes.
25.
Yeah. Is
I
they don't
give you the version that I want to give you now.
And they don't give you the room when it's people that you used to know. They hold you hostage to who they used to be around and what they're comfortable
Exactly.
with. So you growing and changing and implementing boundaries and wanting to do new things, it makes them uncomfortable. So it's who do you think you are versus I see you're evolving into who you truly want to be. So I appreciate that about being here because there's no old perceptions or anything that forces you to kind of to put on a barrier of but this is who I am, but I can't be this around y'all, so I'm just gonna do this over here versus I'm free to be myself completely everywhere that I go.
Exactly. And you said freely. And that's what people fail to understand. I know from a Christian standpoint, it's like coming here, it was a different vibe, a different atmosphere, because growing up in a church, you're taught that you should be this way and that's all you should be. But out here in Austin, the fact that these people, they say keep Austin weird, to a certain extent, I like that. You know what I mean? Because it allows me, if I want to cut all my hair off, you know what I'm saying? If I want to dye my hair green, if I want to go out here and wear slippers to the grocery store, things like that, I was never able to do at home, because it's like everybody is always watching,
Yes,
you
same.
know? And it's not just family. It's just people that you're working with, people that you go to, you know, school with and things like that. And it's like, it's not a bad thing, but people that are evolving, they don't, it's like being a caterpillar in a cocoon. You don't know what's going on with that butterfly inside that cocoon until that butterfly comes out.
Correct.
So that's how I kind of look at life. I'm like, okay, let me go somewhere while God is cultivating me and strengthening me and changing me, and I'm evolving. I want to go somewhere where I don't have to be constantly looked at throughout my evolution. And I think that that's important for a lot of people. Like, yeah, you know, you can grow in your hometown and things like that, but the Bible also speaks about people that have to go off because the hometown don't accept them for who they are, and they don't give them the room to do what they need to do and to prosper and things like that. And so I think that's something that we often don't talk about. It's like, yeah, I had a big community back home, but at the same time, I'm like, is that the community that I need? It goes back to my point in the beginning when I said you can be in a room full of people and still feel alone.
Yes.
Because even back home, I'm from a small town. You know what I mean? So people know us, but and I was surrounded by people that knew me. But at the same time, I felt empty because I'm like, these people ain't coming to check on me. You know what I mean? They I could be over here depressed and in a mood, and they won't even care.
And
you know what I'm saying?
And was.
Exactly. And was. Yeah. So it's like, but here, it is crazy because I constantly play it back in my mind last week when you came and checked on me. And it was like, yeah, we were supposed to record, but I had forgotten about it because I was in a mood. I was in my feelings. And I didn't even know how much I needed somebody to just come by and check on me.
Yeah.
And as we get older, we realize what the old people meant about it. You know, just come by and check on me sometime.
Yeah, let me lay my eyes on you.
Yep. And that is very important. And that's a part of community because it's like, okay, if I feel like I'm alone and I'm going through something, I might not want to talk about what I'm going through. But and just knowing that you have that spirit of discernment to say, let me go pop up on this person. Because you know I'd do it to you in a heartbeat.
Yep.
I would do it in a heartbeat. Hey, she ain't answering that phone. Let me go check on her. Because at the end of the day, I realized that when people go somewhere and they move somewhere and they don't have their family with them, because I go through the same thing. Because like I said, all I have is in-laws and a best friend from school. But at the same time, that's not my family.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's not my immediate family. That's not my biological family. Yeah. So I cannot even just solely depend on that. So I'm like, okay, I need people that get me and know me and will come and check on me. I need people that understand that I'm not a worrier, but I am a person that care.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to check on you too. I'm going to pop up if I don't hear from you.
And there's something about that as we are alive right now, because the world is hard to be alive. Yes. Right now. It's easy to just detach from everybody because we're, mm-hmm. I think, in trying to be considerate of other people's storms and journeys and everything, it sounds like a good idea to be less hands-on. Like, I don't want to add anything to your plate, but really we need to be all on everybody's plates. We all need to be more involved because it is so hard right now. As I know, exactly. For me, when I start to pull away, my mind starts to just become bogged down with, well, they didn't want to be bothered with you anyway. You know, you was just in the way as it was. I don't know.
Intrusive thoughts.
And they just ruminate. And you just sit with that as you're sitting by yourself. And that's not healthy. So no. Even if it's just going to somebody's house and watching a funny movie. Or
exactly.
Just talking about something that has absolutely nothing to do with the thing that's bothering you. We need people, and we need them more than ever right now.
Yeah. And I think that's a lot of the reason why, you know, I wanted to create this space for people, because even if it's virtual, just knowing that people hear me, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. People understand me. People are going through the same thing that I'm going through. And it goes back to, you know, being the strong one. A lot of times we are so big on suffering in silence because we think we get a badge of honor for that. And that's not the case. I mean, you don't get a trophy for being the strong one. So why do we feel like we got to be the strong one? But it goes back to what we were taught and how we were brought up. It's like, you don't let nobody in your business. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
There are boundaries that you put in place in your community. I'm not saying let it all hang out. But what I am saying is get your faithful few that you know that you can confide in, that you can trust. Yes. And then also use the spirit of discernment to say, okay, well, I'm not going to overshare. You right. know what I'm saying? And so it's like, but you should have that one friend that you can overshare with. Because I tell people this all the time. I say, hey, back in the day, I was that person. I would sit up there and I would only tell one person everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, if I hear it again, then I know who said it.
Mm-hmm. Because it surely was not I.
It was not I.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the Lord not going to sit up there and just be telling my business to people.
Right.
So I would only trust one person. And I'm still that way to this very day. I will only, there's certain conversations that I have with certain people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I understand that they are going to keep a tight knit on it. And I had a friend of mine that she said, I'm like your refrigerator. I keep it cool. I'm not going to let that. It's not going to be aired out.
Yeah.
And I could appreciate that. And this right now is like in these days and times with the internet being the way that it is, so many people are so ready to expose people's business. So you do have to be very adamant about picking and choosing the right people to vent
to. Yes.
And so I'm very big on that. And also, it's just, you know, as you get older, you realize you don't need everybody in your business.
Correct.
Like,
You need
everybody
a
should
certain.
know everything.
You have to have a variety within the good concentration of friends that you have. So you have one that's ready to knuck and buck if necessary. You have one
Amen.
that's going to tarry in the spirit, and every time they come to you, they go into the Lord in prayer about you. You have
Exactly.
one that, and if it's a culmination within the same person, that's fine too. But you
Yeah.
need a variety of ways to be supported. Because sometimes you do want somebody who's going to make light and just bring the jokes to it. And other times you want the Ayanla Van Zant. Okay, let's go deep and talk about it right now.
Yeah.
They have to be able to pick up what it is that you need in that moment and be invested in you fully as a friend and person. So, because these relationships are, they're important. I know it's not romantic, but friendships are essential to the soul. Somebody tell me.
Exactly.
Somebody tell me that. I don't remember
And
who it was, but it's real.
it's real. And I tell people that all the time. I say, I am the type of person I do tend to treat my friendships like full-blown relationships in a platonic manner, because for one, it gives it that personal touch, because a lot of times we want to be friends with people on a surface level. And I said this to you last night. I said, I don't want to deal with things on a surface level. I told another friend that, because I like to be that friend that can get down to the root of things, because I feel like if you have that friend that can go deeper and really understand what's going on, they can help you better than a therapist can, and you heal faster. Because if I'm just sitting up here saying, oh, I'm gonna be okay,
Or we're doing
I'm
the
all right.
TikTok and meme and,
Exactly.
black girl magic, which we do need, but also don't talk to me in short form. Let's have
No.
real conversation
Let's
sometime.
have real conversation, because at the end of the day, even if I can't voice what I'm going through or what's happening to me, if I have somebody that can pull it out of me, that's a real friend to me. And I'm just gonna be straight up and honest about that, because for one, it shows me that you're listening to me.
And that
For two,
matters.
it shows me that I matter. It shows me that things are not what they always seem, because so it's like, I guess it's for me, I look at, you know, social media, and I see so many people just posting their everyday life, and me, I like to create content. I do. But it's certain parts of my life that you will not know via internet. So I need somebody that I can, yeah, I'm not faking it, and I'm not shaking on Facebook, as they say, doing it for the book or doing it for gram. I'm not doing it like that, but I give people just enough to know that I'm a personable person, because I do business. So I want people to understand, hey, you're not talking to a bot. You're talking to a person with real feelings and understanding, but at the same time, you're not gonna know my whole life story just from Facebook and TikTok and Instagram. I think that is important too, because it's a lot of people that I meet online, but they don't make it out of the inbox.
Does they there's a lost art of decorum and privacy, and privacy does not equal secrecy. As
Nope.
my child, I have not had him online ever, and he's been with me a long time at this point.
Exactly.
I don't believe that every facet of your life should be able to be seen by all, especially for those who are just looking through the window of social media. Do you even know what we were doing this week? What was my struggle? Do you know what goals that we have and what we're trying to accomplish? If you don't know the inner sanctum stuff and the intimacy of what my life is, why should I put that online? You don't really know me like that.
You don't know me like that. And then the thing about it too, I was the type of person that would use Facebook as my diary back when I was young. But I think a lot of us did that,
Oh,
you know,
yes.
between the ages of 18 and early 20s and things like that.
Lord.
But what I've learned was, in doing that, it only opens you up for people to automatically assume things and put they project themselves onto your situations and things like that. And I'm like, okay, well, even though I'm just venting, they're still giving you too much access to me.
Yes, for your interpretations and for you to perceive.
Exactly.
As we all know,
Exactly.
our emotions are fleeting. Our hearts are deceptive. So we could
Yep.
be happy one sec. And then being a woman with hormones, you know, just that adds another layer to it where it's just, it's a whole stew of stuff happening at one time. So I might post today something vague and ominous, but 2 minutes later, I'm excited because something else happened. So
exactly.
That needs
to, and that's the beauty of being a woman. And I think that's the reason why, too, I'm so big on building a community and building friendships, lasting friendships with people, because I often look back at my friendships. And like I said, I have a friend here in Austin. We've been friends since I was in sixth, seventh grade. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we're 35 now. So I'm like, that shows the longevity that I have with friendships. You know, I have other friends that I've been friends with since high school, or I have other friends that I've been friends with since my early 20s. So I'm that type of person. I'm that person. Anybody that know me, I'm straightforward. I don't cookie cut it. I don't sugarcoat it. I don't put no extra layer on it. I just tell it for what it is. And people love that about me because I'm like, you still feel the love from me because mm-hmm. Whatever I tell you, I'm telling you with love.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you to hurt your feelings. I'm not telling you so that I can feel better about myself. And I'm like, and I think that's, it's not I think, I know for sure that's a lot of the reason why a lot of women can't be friends with other people, because they don't love themselves. They don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like either I'm going to be that psycho person that want to copy off of everything that the person is doing, and I take on the personality of the person that I'm around, or you're going to be that person that's insecure and you don't know what to say or how to be friends with people.
Yep.
You have to have a balance when it comes to friendship, because in order to be a friend, you have to show yourself friendly. That's not something I made up. That's biblical.
Yep.
And I tell people that all the time. I say, between showing myself friendly and the golden rule of treat people the way I want to be treated, yes, I feel like those are that's the foundation of my friendships and my relationships. Even when it comes down to my kids, I'm like, okay, if I don't want to be yelled at all the time, I'm not going to yell at them all the time. Do they deserve it? Of course.
Sometimes.
Of course. But I had to also learn that, am I going off on them because I'm mad about something?
Mm-hmm.
And my day has been, you know, my day hasn't been all the best day that it could have possibly been. Or am I actually going off on them to tell them, okay, this is what you're doing and this is why you need to change it?
Yeah. Oh, so, it makes perfect sense to me. And you saying that, it kind of shows and highlights, because we've had to have a heart-to-heart in our friendship, and that healed a place for me, because I'm not used to longevity friends. Like being, right. And I don't say that in a big-headed, conceited way. Being the strong friend where people do come to you and they lean on you and they dump their stuff and they get the good energy from you, then they go off and do whatever. I've never felt safe enough in any of my friendships to have those conversations to say, hey, you know what? I don't really feel like you're supporting me. I don't feel like mm-hmm. you see me, or when I'm speaking, you hear what I have to say. It just feels like I'm here for you and you're not here for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you, I'll let it build up and build up, and then I just silently move away because you don't care anyway, so why? And then if I do bring it up to you, you're going to be defensive. Mm-hmm. You know, women and accountability don't always go well together. I said it as a woman.
Exactly.
So for the majority of my life, shoot, all the way to elementary school, I've always been in this place of helping and healing other people, but not receiving it back. So mm-hmm. for that golden rule, and then for the commandment to love our neighbors as ourselves, it makes it important to me to have that in relationship with people. But before you and I, it was not really a thought that it would happen for real. So right. When we had our talk about things, I was like, well, shoot, this is the end. She's telling me she's mad at me. She's not my friend anymore. So I'm just going to put my mind, I don't have any friends. Okay. I messed up. It's wrong. It's my fault. But then you kept showing up. I'm like, oh, so we can be friends. Okay. Yeah. This is what real people do. Wow.
Exactly.
Never experienced it before.
And you told me that before, and it really made me look at the fact of how I do treat my friendships, because I'm just that type of person. I'm like, look, I can tell you that I don't like something, and I can still love you, and we gonna laugh and hee-hee about it later on. Yeah. And that's just where I am. Even in my own marriage, my husband had to get used to that. It's like Glenn wasn't always used to somebody just telling how they felt, and then they can go on about their day and not be mad all day. It don't take all that.
Because it's trauma. We've learned that from childhood, because I'm telling you, there were no healthy conflict resolution skills. They stayed mad until time passed, things settled back down, and then we were just back in each other's faces. No conversations were had.
No conversations were had. Oh, you hungry?
Exactly.
You know, and I tell people all the time, I say, hey, that right there, that no longer works for me.
No.
It no longer works for me. And that's why, you know, I did decide to have a conversation with you, because I'm like, you didn't even have to tell me that you had never had a friend that would actually do that. You know what I'm saying? I already knew that. I knew it, because what I do, I sit and I analyze my friends. I'm like, I'm not just sitting up there just having mindless conversations. No, I'm actually listening to what they're telling me.
And
I listen
to
what's not being said.
That's crazy. Because I'm that person. Nobody's ever done that to me. So it's like, what do you mean you see me? Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And people don't realize how necessary that is. You know what I mean? Because it's like, some people would get weirded out about it. What you mean you see me? And I'm like, am I not supposed to see you? Like, what are we doing here? And so I had to understand it. I was like, I only want to create and cultivate friendships with people that can understand me on that level, because I'm a deep person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I am very deep. I will sit there and I will analyze a person and say, okay, these are their needs. I'm not listening to what you tell me, to what you want. I'm listening to your needs. So it's like, if I feel like, yeah, you might say you want to go on this trip, but what you're really saying is, hey, I need somebody to come see about me. I need to sit down and talk about my feelings and what I'm going through and how to process this. Because a lot of times we don't have good friendships because we're trying to process so much internally. Yeah. And then outwardly and externally, we cannot be who we need to be. We cannot show up as our best selves because we're so bogged down with stuff that's bothering us. And so that was my thing. I was like, okay, if she shuts down, she shuts me out, she's not talking to me, something is going on.
Yep.
And I tell you another thing that is very important for people to realize, that everything is not supposed to be taken personally.
Say it again.
Just because somebody is not talking to you, or they don't want to, you know, they're not being themselves, that does not mean that they're acting funny with you.
So don't take it personally and start treating them funny.
Exactly.
It's not always about you.
It's not always about you. Because, and I started to really think about that. And for me, it's always been like that for me. I'm just going to be straight up. Because even in conversations with my own parents and things like that, I might say something that they don't like. Or I might tell them, hey, you know, growing up, this is what you did.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you can be mad with me if you want to. But at least I told you. You know what I mean? Because it's like, what good is it going to do me to hold on to these feelings and all of these things and I not tell you? And then I'm a firm believer like this. I say, Lord, when you take me, I want to be empty.
Yes.
I want to say that I have given out into the world. I've sold my seeds.
Mm-hmm.
I've done everything that I was supposed to do. I've lived my purpose. And you can say, good and well done, my faithful servant.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing with me. And it's not to be in a religious situation. It's just to be honest. I'm like, if we look at life, we know that it's something bigger, somebody greater running this thing.
Yes.
So you got to answer to something or somebody. And for me, I don't want to live a life of emptiness.
And
I want to pour out. I want to pour out, but I want to pour out with intention.
Right. So we're not casting our pearls before swine.
Exactly.
Historically, you know, we want to be valued and in places. And I think that goes to, now you said, believe in something. I'm going to say it right now. The something and the someone is Jesus. Don't believe
exactly.
The religious overview of what the world is saying. Get to know him for yourself. Because every time he's encountered me, it's always been in a loving, warm and comfortable, just I'm here for you. And that comes through just in prayer sometimes, and other times through friendships where somebody will call me and be like, hey, you were on my mind, just checking on you.
Exactly.
What's going on? I know it. What's going on? just in that way. It just, it's a slow, warm direction. I just want to say that because
it's not rushed.
Yes.
And that's the thing too. I had to start reminding myself. I say, well, you know, I'm the type of person, I'm like, I'm not going to call this person with an attitude. I'm not going to, even if I'm mad at a person, I've learned to watch what I say and how I say it. And it's like, yeah, it might still, you know, hurt a little bit, but at the same time, the whatever I got to say is not going to always be peaches and cream.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be rainbows and sunshines all the time. So in doing that, I also have built a tough skin to receive the same thing. Because a lot of times we can be so one-sided. It's like, oh, mm-hmm. I can say what I want to say. I'm this, that, and da-da-da-da-da. But then when it comes down to people actually returning that mm-hmm. to us, we can't receive it with the same love and grace that we, you know, want to proclaim that right. we have for others. And so that was my thing too. I was like, hey, tell me if I have offended you or whatever the case may be. And I do check-ins with my friendships.
Yeah.
I'm like, it was a thing on Instagram and it was talking about how friendships and marriages should have like subscriptions.
Yeah.
Like, okay, do you want to subscribe to this again? And so as far as my marriage, I'm like, baby, I done tried to end my subscriptions before. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like I'm just that person. If something is not working, then I'm a bounce. You know what I mean? Because I'm not going to sit there and just constantly pour into something or somebody and I'm not receiving what I need. But I learned that with marriage, you can't always do that.
Nope.
And we have learned to value each other and listen to each other. And so the same ways and same things that I have implemented in my marriage, I do that within my friendship. And I'm like, okay, do I want to subscribe to this friendship again?
Right.
Because have you poured into me like I poured into you?
And I will say, as deep as we get with all of these things, I don't want anybody to think that it's all, you know, every time we come around each other, it's, so how are we doing today?
No.
Fun.
No.
We have a good time. We laugh. We're goofy and it's lighthearted. But also in the moments where it's like, all right, I remember you said such and such was happening. How's that going?
Exactly.
So what are we going to do with this? We just kind of pepper it in the most appropriate ways so that we don't have to feel bogged down. Like, I know when I go see this half over here, I'm going to talk about my feelings again.
Exactly. And that's another thing. It goes back to balance, though, because yes. I am the type of person, I believe in true balance. It's yes. like, I don't want to be that friend that's always dumping on somebody, nor do Same. I want a friend that's always dumping on
Girl.
Me.
Girl.
But Ooh-wee. We have to be able to know and communicate those things, too, because it's like, if I'm sitting up there and I'm like, okay, I'm in a funk, as I call it, mm-hmm. and I'm talking to you, I'm gonna snap out of there instantly if I understand that you got something going on.
I think ours kind of meets at the middle, because we'll be like, ooh, I don't feel good either, girl, that we're talking
exactly. Let's talk about
it. Balance each other out.
Exactly. And that is how it's supposed to be. I shouldn't, even with is some people that you will call and you can't even get out what you're going through, because time you talk to them, they got to talk about what they're going through.
That irritates my soul, because sometimes all you want as a person is for somebody else to hear you.
Exactly.
And I know I've been guilty of it, and it's not out of a one-upping situation. It's really coming from a place of, I understand, because girl, I've been going through it too. But
exactly.
I've learned to stop doing that, because it can feel like you're invalidating someone. To yeah. say, yeah, girl, my leg hurt. Girl, my leg was hurting too.
Exactly.
Like, you know what? Let them finish talking about that leg, and then we can maybe circle back to your leg at some point too, and we can just limp on together. Maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the thing too. You like creating that balance with each other, because me, I am not the average female.
No.
And I'm just not. And it's not, like you said in the beginning, it's not one of those big headed type of situations where I say I'm not the average female, but I am the type of person that's just like, I feel like I balance just real well when it comes to emotions. It's like, yeah, I might crash out,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to bounce back and I'm not going to wallow in that. Mm-hmm. And people don't understand it. A lot of women just want to wallow in whatever they're going through. And I'm
yeah.
like, okay, sis, but what did they do for you, though?
And what is our exit strategy? I'm going to cry a couple of days. I'm going to be at the house. I'll cry in the car. But at some point, okay, how am I going to get out of this? I'm going to pray. What do I need to do? What are my resources? Who can I talk to? Is there a friend I can call? What's going to fix this? Because I don't want to keep feeling this way. Or being around people and making them feel miserable.
Exactly. And that's another thing, too. And one of my friends texted today and was like, hey, you know, I don't want to bring down your mood. And I'm like, for that, that is a honest and genuine way to do things. Because I'm like, so many times we get to a place where it's like, we don't even know that we're bringing other people's moods down.
Mm-hmm. If you're always a friend with sarcastic quips and such and such is happening again. And these kids,
exactly.
Are you ever joyful? Does anything ever make you feel happiness?
Okay. And that's the thing, and that I had to understand. But what I think it's Kirk Franklin when he said, "I don't want you to just have joy."
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
He was like, "It's like certain emotions are so what you would call it? They're so unnecessary because they're temporary." Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, if I'm happy, then that can only last for so long because something might come along and make me. That's what he said. He was like, yep. I don't want you to just be happy. I want you to have joy.
Yep.
Because can't nobody take that from you. And I'm like, yo, like that's real. That's some real stuff. Because even with you, I don't even know if you remember you said that, but you said it was something. I said, made me happy or something. He was like, no. We want joy.
That's right.
You know, but that's the thing is like, you need friends that can snap you out of certain things. Be like, okay, you said this word, but you really meant something else. Because people don't understand that that is real. Your words do have power. So that's the same way I kind of catch myself sometimes when I say, let me not say trying because trying is for the uncommitted.
Mm-hmm.
And Glenn was the one, and my husband was the one that taught me that. And so it's like at the end of the day, you realize, okay, I don't want to say stuff, and then I'm big on putting it out there in the atmosphere. And you put it out there in the atmosphere, and then you're gonna get exactly what you just put out there.
And that's biblical. I know some folks roll their eyes about that, but it says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. So we do have to be mindful of what we say. If you say you're always tired and ain't nothing ever going to happen good for me or whatever, you're calling that to you. So exactly. You have to watch how you say it.
And then I think, was it Donald Lawrence that made the song about I am?
Yes. And the law of confession too. Yep.
Yep. So you got to be careful what you attach to I am. And so that's the thing too. I'm very big on it. I know that people will be like, oh, you big on wordplay. Very much so. Because for me, it's not playing the game. It's me understanding that this is real. What I say can happen. And then also that's a flip thing too, because I started thinking, I said, we got so many people that are out here speaking ill will and negativity and all of this kind of stuff, not realizing that is you're planting seeds of negativity.
Yes.
But
yes,
you can use that same power and plant seeds of positivity, which leads us to our next segment about affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had to learn to affirm some things. I had to learn to call things out, even if it's not in my view or in my reach. I had to learn to say, okay, this is what I'm aspiring to do. This is what's going to happen because I believe that this is going to happen. And so I'm learning that friendships need to have those types of conversations. It's like, okay, babe, what are you affirming? What are you claiming?
And it's like a kind of a fake it till you make it. It may not feel right.
Exactly.
You may roll your eyes as you say it, but you keep on putting that out there until it becomes so. Don't be so married to the outcome. Enjoy the journey, which I'm learning to do for myself, and I like it. But as you put it out there, okay, yes, I want to be a millionaire. It may not happen tomorrow, but that doesn't mean that it won't happen. You just have to take in those steps and say, I have good friends around me, and be specific about the type of friends that you want to have around you.
Yep.
People who will do X, Y, and Z, 1, 2, and 3. Speak those things out so that it can happen for you on your journey. makes
and
a difference.
And that's the thing. That's the importance of having those type of friends that can understand that. Because I had to realize that sometimes you have friends in your life that they don't have any goals and they don't have any, you know, inspiration and motivation and things like that. So they can't even fathom the thought of, you know, speaking things into existence or actually putting forth the effort and applying pressure, as we say. They don't understand any of that. So you have to get around people that are on your same wavelength when it comes to things like that. Because I used to think the affirmations was dumb. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, why would I sit in the mirror and keep talking and keep saying the same thing to myself over and over again? But then I realized something. I say, it goes back to what I said. If you don't feel good and you're not your best self, you cannot show up for other people.
True.
So if I'm affirming things and I'm saying my affirmations in the morning, I'm being positive and I'm setting the tone for my day, I can be who I need to be when I go out into the world or when I'm on the phone with my friends or when I'm texting them and things like that. Because even if you're not the most spiritual person, you understand that moods and energy and how they work.
Speak on it. And don't mirror people. Don't. We're not matching energy anymore. If you we're are. Not,
because that is so childish.
But don't let nobody steal your joy. Because if you get on the phone and it's, hey, girl, and then keep it light, keep it positive. If you have to get off the phone early, that's fine. But don't let them take that from you.
No. And what I also learned to do is, because a lot of people, they don't like texting, but I would rather text you to see what your text tone is. And that's going to determine if I want to get on the phone with you. Because since I'm not matching energy, I don't want to have to sit up there and really hurt your feelings and be like, you know what? I don't want to talk to you today.
You're right.
Because it goes back to what we said. It's like, you don't know what people are going through.
Right.
And so sometimes they can't answer the phone. Hey, girl, how you doing? Sometimes all they can give you, hey, girl.
Yeah.
But with that, hey, girl, I know that something is wrong.
Yeah.
But if I would have texted you in the beginning, I would have known something was wrong. And I could have braced myself before I called you.
Right. Because we are in an age where phone calls are scary sometimes. You just don't know who's going to be on the other line and with what. So texting does feel safer. And then also, you got to know who your people are, because it takes me a while to return text messages. It's partially ADHD, partially mothering, where I'll get in a tangent and I'll be doing stuff. And I don't mean any harm. I truly don't.
That's true.
And you get busy with something else and it's, oh, crap, I forgot to text. And then there's the shame that's heaped on of, well, now they're going to get mad at me because it's been an hour and I keep doing this and they're going to think I'm a bad friend. Just cut all that script. Say, hey, girl, I was doing X, Y, and Z. What's up? That's it.
But you know what? You saying that is important because it goes back to knowing your people.
Yeah.
Because if I'm your true friend and I understand your pattern, I know that I can't get mad if you don't respond to my text within an hour.
Right.
And so with me, I feel like I did put a lot of pressure on you when it came to you responding. And I had to really just tell myself, I say, okay, just because this is my way of communicating and I communicate fast, even though I'm multitasking, that does not mean that everybody is used to doing it, you know? And so now it's like, all right, well, if Courtney don't text me back within a certain time frame, apparently she's asleep, she's at work, and baby, she'll get back to me the next business day.
I surely will.
Because it's not, and I had to tell myself, I said, I can't take that personal because everybody is not a texting person.
I used to be, my multitasking function broke when I had my brain surgery, and we can get into that at another time.
Right. And that's the thing, but that also leads up to, you know, us talking about the next topics and things like that, because, like, this is not one of those situations, you know, where we just gonna put it all in one episode. No, because this is a process.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because what actually led up to me stopping by and checking on you? You know what I'm saying? What actually led me to understanding you as a whole person and not just for what I saw? Because
and me actually trusting that I can say, this is how I need my friends to show up. Like, I'm gonna say it, I'm gonna put it out there. Whatever happens, okay, at least I said it.
Exactly. And but you now you feel that you know that you're safe in doing that.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to understand too. We gotta create safe spaces for our friends, because it's like, you shouldn't feel like you gotta be on pins and needles if you don't text me back.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But also, I didn't even know that you had a brain situation when you did go MIA. You know what I'm saying? Even though you wasn't experiencing the actual situation that led up to your surgery then, but that could have been a cause as to why. You know what I'm saying? You didn't feel like talking. And I didn't even give that time to even try to figure out, well, maybe something's going on. You know, I mean, so I really prayed on it, and I gave you weeks.
Yeah.
I gave you weeks. And the way that I showed up for you is just like, you didn't even expect me to even talk to you.
But I surely did not. Nope.
I'm not doing that. No, I need to talk to you. What's going on, my friend?
Yeah. Well, see, I was used to being dismissed even with serious things of people just, oh, it's not that big of a deal. So I just learned to keep it to myself. And this is why you have to check on your strong friends and also take stock of the people around you and how they speak to you when you're being vulnerable. Because if they're not gentle, if they're not considerate, those are not your people. So don't be afraid to cut them out of your life.
Which is what, and I want to get to this. I want to get to this because 5 major bullet points that I wanted to really tackle was learning to give grace. People are human.
Yep.
We touched on that. When to take space from a group or person. That's what you just said. Also, you can outgrow people and still love them.
Yes.
How to tell if a space has become unhealthy or draining. Moving forward without bitterness, releasing while staying open to new connections.
Yes.
That's all of that goes together because it's like, I just want us to be able to be honest with people.
Yeah.
Because just because I say that this space no longer serves me, that does not mean you're a bad person.
It just means we're in different places of things.
That means we've outgrown each other, and that's okay. Because I often go back in my mind, my brother was in the military. And so I made a post on Facebook years ago when we dropped him off at the airport. And I was like, okay, 3 people left from the same city, Shreveport, got on the same plane, but were dropped off in different destinations.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that was a powerful thing. I said, you can leave with some people. You can be it going the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere they might veer off and go in a different direction because that's no longer their path. Their path was not to go all the way with you.
Right. And you
their path was to only be there to help you in certain areas. It's called seasonal people.
Yes.
And I really had to be okay with seasonal people. It's just like retail. Seasonal people in retail stores make life easier for the holiday season.
Yeah. You bring them in, you get them back on out of there. Yeah.
But when that season is over with, they're no longer needed. So it's like, it's not to say that people are disposable, but sometimes people are just meant to be in your life to show you certain things about yourself, you know, for them to figure out certain things about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And for y'all to just go in different directions, it don't have to be no bad, you know, split. It don't have to be no bad cutoff. It could be a mutual understanding that, hey, we just don't fit no more.
And it could be a check-in every season of what you, holiday, whatever.
Exactly. How you doing?
You send out your little postcards with the family download of this is what we're doing this year. Praise the Lord. See you later.
Or exactly.
That.
And I had to learn to be okay with it. And I had a friend that was an everyday friend. And she told me, she was like, well, maybe we just going to be that friend like some of your other friends where we just talk once a year. And baby, I was so against it. I said, girl, who? But as life went on, I had to be okay with the fact that I might only hear from you every now and then.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So now I'm okay with it. And I was like, that was a teaching moment for myself because I'm normally the one that want to hold on to people and all this other kind of stuff. And
then Don't leave me.
Yeah. And I had to realize, I say, baby, that's a trauma response.
Because somebody somewhere along the line did not give what they were supposed to give.
Exactly.
And now we're looking for it in other people.
Yep.
But to that point, with seasonal friends, some of them will be your lifers.
Yeah. And
you kind of just see how it goes when you weather the storms. Take stock in how people speak to you, how they show up for you.
Exactly.
After you've communicated thoroughly and take accountability for your sight. because mm-hmm. that's necessary, of how you show up for them and how they show up for you. And, you know, if it's because, listen, the Lord got marriage on my mind and more children. Amen.
Amen. So
at some point, there will be another newborn stage and toddler stage. And Jasmine is her kids are basically grown. And the youngest old woman.
they're gonna be babysitting.
Exactly. We're still gonna be involved. It's just going to look a little different because it's different things happening within the sphere. That's all right. You just have to know who's available to do what, and not to like completely fall apart on people, but who can you call when you up pumping or changing dirty diapers, or you know, you in your new marriage and you need some advice? You have to know who to do what with and when.
You made a valid point, because it's like I can see myself still being that friend that you need in those moments. Because it's like, okay, if I hadn't been married with 10 years, been with him 14, it's like the crazy part about that is people had to understand, even you had to adapt to the fact that it ain't just jazz.
Right.
It's Jazz and Glenn. But we vibe so cool. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? It's not like one of those awkward situations where he's always around. No, he knows how to leave the room and still let us be that, you know, that woman to woman friendship. You know what I'm saying? And so I know that God is going to give you somebody that's going to be that same way. It's like, okay, well, at that point, then Glenn got somebody he can pump fists with, you know what I'm saying? And just be cool with. But that is the way friendship's supposed to be. And I had to learn that in telling people that, because I used to be like, oh, you can't be friends with single people. And I said, no, girl, you can only be friends with certain single people.
Correct. That is because it. You have value as the non-married, well, the divorced person. You have to value people's unions. Don't be in exactly. there being bitter. No, don't do that.
And then coming from the standpoint of the person that is still married, you have to be like, okay, well, just because my friend is divorced or just because they're living a single life right now, that does not mean that their friendship is not valuable to me.
Correct.
Because you yes. give me that balance that I need, because you understand, yeah, she's married, but at the same time, she's an individual.
Yes.
And so I feel like it's a lovely bond to be able, because it's kind of funny, because even like here this last week, Glenn texted you and said, hey, she need a break.
Yep. You sure did.
So it's like you need to be able to have those friends where your spouse can text and say, hey, babe, my girl over here tripping. Something going on. Mm-hmm. I need you to step in and give that female energy and figure out what's going on. Because I've done what I can do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to do what I can do in my right as a man and as her spouse. But she still needs her friend and her circle to be around her and to help her through whatever she's going through. And it don't have to be nothing bad. Women just get overwhelmed, overstimulated,
mm-hmm.
and need to be able to have the outlet where it's like, okay, well, at least I can call or I can, you know, hang out with my friend or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
Man, bring them kids over here.
And
get
them away from us.
Exactly.
We'll be over here. Don't ask us nothing. Leave
yes. us. But I think a lot of friendships is like, we don't know how to just be there for each other. It is more so like, oh, I just want a friend just so I can just talk about my stuff.
Yes. And I will say, for the single non-parent people, this matters for you too. If you find yourself in relationship with people that are married or people who have children, that does not automatically trump your feelings, your situations. Don't let people talk down to you just because you're in a single season. Being married, and this is not a knock at you, Jasmine, being married does not just make you qualified in life. Like, oh, now I have something to talk about. Because I remember, shoot, I was in a Christian young people's Bible study. And I was the youngest one there, and they were all aspiring to be together. And they was actually low-key humping each other.
Of course.
And I'm just like, you know, I'm looking for the Lord. I'm doing all these things. And it was just this, oh, don't let people aw you. That ain't right.
That's but I'm going to tell you something. And that's just to be, it's to be truthful about the situation. I look at things as how I was before I got married. Because I done been through many stages. I done been through the separated and the single mama stage where my husband, Glenn, was still a part of the kid's life. but we were not in a space where we were wanting to be together. Mm-hmm. And so I take that and I'm able to use that as my friend, like with my friends that are not married anymore or that are aspiring to be married. I'm like, okay, I was once in that season. So yeah. I understand how that is. I went out here dating. I went out here doing it. My kids don't even know no other man. But the thing about it is, I was able to understand that I had to find myself and he had to find himself in yes. order for us to come back and be different versions. And that's the thing too. That's the beauty of being able to say, okay, girl, I ain't been married all my life.
And these events are not qualifiers. Like, it doesn't put you in a certain club for respect or anything. No. These are just things we happen to have done in our lives.
Exactly.
You, the whole person deserve to be seen and valued right there.
So. Exactly. And when you said right there, that's where we gonna end it, right there.
Amen.
Amen. So, hey, y'all, this has been a great conversation. Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed it. I know that me and Courtney are gonna have a debrief after this one. But the thing about it is, guys, I want you to understand the importance of having people around you that you can talk to,
yeah.
that you can heal with, that people, they actually see you, they understand you for who you are. And that is the space that we're creating. So remember, check out the other episodes. Also go on Facebook, Instagram. We got the group, Healing is a Vibe. Go over there, join that group. Also leave reviews. Let us know, you know, how you felt about this episode. Mm-hmm. Anything you want to add to this episode. How we can branch off from this one and talk about deeper issues and actual situations that we went through that in order to get to this point where we have become friends on just not just the surface level. Yes. So let's talk about all of that. Until next time. Hey, I'm Jasmine. This was Courtney.
Bye, y'all.
And we're out.